sisters a welcome. Let them know how much we love them, how much we thank you for being with us today. Man, I kind of feel like somebody around here's been praying. Amen. I kind of feel the results of prayer. Feel the results of faith. Amen. There is no telling what God can do. I love the scripture that says he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. Isn't that wonderful to know that we serve a God that's so great, knows our needs. If you have your Bible this morning, go with us to the book of St. Luke. Man, did you enjoy the choir and the praise team this morning? Amen. Let them know. It's all about worshiping the Lord. There's a saying here, it says it's not about us, it's all about him. How many knows him? Do you know him this morning? Amen. Reading from the book of St. Luke, chapter number 19, beginning with verse number 1. Thank you for standing. The reading of God's holy and precious word again from the book of St. Luke, chapter number 19, beginning with verse number 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Can we bow our heads in prayer? Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, God, for your holy word. Thankful for this congregation who has gathered here today, God, in anticipation of a mighty move. Father, we're thankful, Lord, that you are God that is present, one whose arm is not short, that you can't reach down and touch and anoint each and every need this morning. God, reach into this sanctuary. Fill it, God, with your Holy Spirit. Anoint these lips of clay, God, as I stand to bring the word, God, that I feel that you have placed upon our hearts. God, let me be a vessel, God, just an oracle used by the Holy Spirit this morning, God, to convey what you have laid upon our hearts. God, that we might receive it. God, that it might produce growth and edification into our spirit. God, that we'll be about your business. Father, if there's any needs here today, God, I pray that you'd meet those. If any sick, afflicted, God, certainly you are the healer of the body. But especially, Lord, in this congregation, if there's anyone lost today, let them know and realize that this is the day that salvation can come into this house. And we'll give you praise and honor and glory. We ask it in Jesus' sweet name. Amen. One more time, give a hand clap for Jesus. This morning I want to bring a message entitled, It's Worth the Effort. It's Worth the Effort. Somewhere along the line, effort has become a dirty word. It's all about convenience. It's all about easy. It's all about less effort. How can we be more productive with less effort? I've heard that in so many meetings. Yeah. Work smarter. Work harder. Work smarter. And all of this age of technology, and has made so many of the things that used to be physically exerted, it's made them easily accessible and easier to get results. And I happen to think, you know, that shouldn't work in the worshiping of God. I'm not looking for an easy way to worship God. I want to worship him in the beauty of holiness.
as the Bible says. I want it to be a sacrifice of my body and a sacrifice of my time and an exertion of my effort, because if I'm going to put my best effort forth for something that I want to do, then certainly I ought to put forth my best effort in pleasing and serving God. Amen. Because He's done so much for me. He's brought me through so many trials. Amen. He's caused me to climb so many high mountains. Amen. And brought me through so many valleys. Amen. That I need to praise Him and worship Him with every ounce of strength that I have in my body. It's worth the effort. Mr. Webster says effort is a physical or mental exertion, a determined attempt. I love that. Not just any attempt, but a determined attempt. My dad used to have a saying. He said, son, a man's going to do about what a man wants to do, or a body's going to do about what a body wants to do, what they have determined in their mind to do. You know why? Because they won't accept failure. When you've determined in your heart and your mind to accomplish something, you may fail two or three times, but you are determined, amen, to finish the project and to get it completed. And I will assure you, if you are determined enough, amen, if you put forth enough effort, you will complete that project. So he finds Zacchaeus. Amazing little man. Was not well liked. In fact, you know, he was looked down on by most common people because he was a tax collector. He was rich, and I would imagine that probably, just in my mind, that Zacchaeus probably didn't have a lot of friends, a lot of running buddies, a lot of pals, but he had heard of this man Jesus, and the Bible says he wanted to see Him, but who He was. How many knows that that's more than just a casual glance? When you want to see somebody and you want to know who they are, it's more than just a handshake or a pat on the back. You want to get to know them. Amen. Oh, did you hear me? Jesus is more than just a casual acquaintance, but so many people treat Him as a casual acquaintance. I want to get to know Him, don't you? I want Him to be intimately within me. I want to feel His anointing. I want to feel His Spirit and His power. I want to learn to lean on Jesus and to walk in His footsteps. And Zacchaeus heard that Jesus was passing by, and it'd been very, very easy just to kind of just give up and say, well, there's no way. I can see that over that crowd. And let me tell you something. If crowds turn anybody off in this world, I'm one that crowds kind of turn me off. I have purposely pulled out of the driveway of a very good restaurant because it was overly crowded. I have bypassed Martin's because there's so many cars in line to get that good old bacon and biscuit. And I want one really, really bad. But I'm not willing to put forth the effort to pull into Martin's drive-thru and wait and wait and wait and wait. And I say the same thing. If they're going to order that many through the drive-thru, they ought to get out and go in. Well, that'll preach, won't it? And let us who are in a hurry go through the drive-thru. Many times I've missed out on the biscuit because I didn't want to put forth the effort. Zacchaeus could have easily said, there's no way I can see Jesus today. The crowd is already there. They're thronging around Him. I'll never be able to see over Him. But Zacchaeus had a plan. Amen. How many is thankful for a plan? Glory to God. He ran on ahead where he knew Jesus was going to be. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, there's a message right there. I want to be where Jesus is passing by. I want to be right in the midst of the holy power of God. I don't want to run from Him. I want to run to Him. Amen. I do not want to avoid Him. I want to welcome Him with open arms. I want to pray. I want to seek God every opportunity that I possibly can. Zacchaeus' plan was, if I can make it to the sycamore tree, praise God. Not a palm tree. Not a pine tree, but a sycamore tree. I was intrigued. You know, the Bible is easily said, Zacchaeus ran to a tree and climbed it. Can I tell you, any old tree won't do? Hello? Come on. Any old form's not going to do. It's got to be God's way. Amen. He sought out a specific tree, which just happened to be a sycamore tree. You know why? Because the branches grew down close to the ground. And they were full, and they were leafy, and they were strong, and they were vibrant. And you remember, it was very specific. The Bible didn't have to say, Luke didn't have to say that he was a little man of stature. But there was a reason there. It let us know, amen, that God is also for the little man. Amen. And I'm not talking stature. Amen. You may think that nobody cares a thing about you. You may think that you can't get anywhere for the press, for the people, amen, that are before you. You may think that you've been passed over too many times for that job promotion. You may be thinking that God is not blessing you because you're not where you want to be. Can I tell you, hunt you up a sycamore tree in the power of God. I'm not talking about a physical tree. I'm talking about a place where you can climb up and you can see over the crowd and you can see past the trouble and you can see past the fear and you can see past the anger, and all you see is Jesus. When he climbed the sycamore tree, he couldn't see the crowd anymore. He couldn't see the obstacles anymore. Somebody ought to get a hold of that. He couldn't see the wall anymore. All his eyes were on Jesus. Oh, give me a church that their eyes are only on Jesus. They're not looking at their brother. They're not looking at their sister. They're not looking at the crowd. They're looking at Jesus and nothing but the blood. Hallelujah. Oh, we ought to find a sycamore tree. Wherever it is, that sycamore tree, amen, can be in a prayer closet at your house. That sycamore tree can be at the altar where you come down and you get your mind totally on God. Amen. And you're not watching anybody else. You're not listening to anything else, Brother Rowdy. You're not paying attention to the gossip. You're praying for the gossipers. You're not listening for the storytellers or the false lies and the innuendos. You're letting that pass through your mind because you're in a sycamore tree. You're in a place of contact. You're in a place where all you can see is Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. There's many, many times I need a sycamore tree in my life. I need a place. I need an environment. I need the holy ground, glory to God. Lord, don't let me see the faults. Don't let me see the failures. God, help me to look at you. Help me to forgive my brother. Help me to forgive my sister, Lord. Help me to not hold any animosity, any anger, Lord. God, that's not good. That's not beneficial. I only want to see you. Man. But how many know that it took effort to get to the tree? Zacchaeus was small of stature. Small of stature probably tells me his legs were probably a little shorter than the average person. You know, many, many times when we take a child by the hand and we said, you don't turn loose my hand, you walk with me. Little did we realize that every step we take, that's about three for them. They're having to put a whole lot more effort into just walking with us. And we're trying to walk slow, but their little legs, and every once in a while you'll notice they're taking two or three steps trying to keep up with you. Amen. I mean, you know, sometimes it feels like that when we're walking with God. God, I'm trying to keep up. I'm trying to keep up. But let me tell you, God will not let go of your hand. He'll not let go of your hand. But Zacchaeus, he ran before the crowd. I don't know how you picture Zacchaeus. I'm not trying to be offensive. This is just my imagination. I believe he was a little portly. Why you say, Brother, how do you know that? Well, all he did is sit around and collect money and get rich. Let me know, he probably wasn't a blue collar man. He's probably a little portly. I kind of see Zacchaeus, and don't be offended. Brother Jose, don't get mad at me. I don't think Zacchaeus had no hair. If all I had to do was sit around and worry about taxes, I'd rub every hair off of my head. Just my imagination.
Zacchaeus was short-legged, maybe a little portly, maybe a little balding. Maybe his heart didn't pump as good because he didn't exercise regularly. He didn't have a club membership down at the exercising place. But he made it to the tree. And he reached up. Listen, get with me now. Come on. Come on. It's worth the effort. If all you're thinking about how hard it is, how hard it is, how hard it is, think about the reward. Think about the greatness. Think about what lies at the end. Think about the sycamore tree. Just a few more steps, just a little bit closer. And he got to the tree. And if it's some of us saints of God, well, I've already run this far. That's all that needs to be expected out of me. But not Zacchaeus. No, not him. He ran to the tree and he grabbed a hold of the limb, and he started to pull his portly little body up the limb. Each and every time, he got higher and higher. Glory to God. Give me a hungry saint that's not satisfied just hanging on the lower limb. Give me a saint of God who wants to climb each and every limb. Get a little higher. Get a little closer to God. Get a little deeper in the Word. Oh, fast a little more. Pray a little more. It's worth the effort, folks. It's worth the effort. Hallelujah. And Zacchaeus got up in the tree, and he could see real good. Amen. He could look out over the crowd, and he saw Jesus. And little did he realize, and he watched Jesus as Jesus began to walk down the street. And the crowds was around him, and Jesus began to get closer to his vantage point from high atop the sycamore tree. And here comes Jesus in the crowd. And Jesus kind of veers off a little bit. And the crowd kind of just mingles around him and follows him. And he walks to the trunk of the sycamore tree. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Don't you love it when you feel the nearness of the Lord? After a struggle, after a problem, after an issue, after hurt feelings, after an agonizing trial, Brother Rowdy, there's no words that can tell you how much it is to feel the presence of the Lord coming into your area and blessing you and getting closer to you. And Zacchaeus is holding on to the limbs and he's watching. And Jesus walks right up to the trunk of the sycamore tree and he looks up at Zacchaeus and he says, "You need to come down because I got to go to your house. I got to go to your house. The reason I got to go into your house is because you put forth effort. You made it a determined effect to get to me. Amen. And because of that, I'm going to enter into your house." Listen to me, folks. Come on. If you want the Lord to enter into your house, if you want him to enter into your realm, you put forth the effort. You begin to pray and ask and fast for God, a move of God, an anointing of God, and you'll feel the presence of Almighty God coming right into your situation. Can I tell you, I don't believe it took Zacchaeus as long to get down out of the tree as it did to get up in it. Glory to God. Jog your memory. Where did that come from? I never expected that. Oh, look what I just got in the mail. Lord in mercy, all of a sudden, God just made a way. Let me tell you, it's a lot better trip down out of the tree than it is up the tree. Glory to God. Coming down out of the tree, I'm going to Jesus. Jesus, go to my house. Amen. We're going to have fellowship. Glory to God. And he confessed his sins. Jesus said, "This day, salvation is coming to this house." He said, "I came to seek and to save that was lost." You remember your time in the sycamore tree? Do you remember the time before you gave your heart to Jesus? Do you remember living in pain and agony and anticipation and fear? Amen. Let me just get an amen. Ain't it a lot easier to go to sleep when you're saved? Lord, that's a blessing. Because I've been in the position of going to bed and trying to sleep when I was unsaved. And praying, Lord, not tonight. Whatever you do, don't let Gabriel blow that trumpet. Don't you split that eastern sky. Because I'm not ready. Then in the morning, whew, thank you, Lord. And I'll go do what I need to do, and tonight I'll pray the same prayer. That's when I was living in the tree. That's when I was living in an unsaved condition. I could see Jesus. Oh, come on now. I believe that some other people has been in the tree. I can see him. He's pretty close. But let me tell you something. As long as you're in the tree, he ain't at your house. Oh, Brother Eddie, don't be mean. I'm not being mean. Amen. You got to come down out of the tree because he wants to come into your house. Amen. Hadn't you rather have him in your tree, in your house, amen, than in the tree? Amen. You don't want a tree house. You want him in the house. Come on. Zacchaeus, get down. He got down with all the haste that he possibly could and went to Jesus. And Jesus went to his house. And I can imagine that Zacchaeus wasn't thinking about running. He wasn't thinking about the time he was out of breath. He wasn't thinking about all the effort that he put forth. He was thinking about the reward that Jesus came into his house. You know, the Lord has always blessed effort. He's always blessed effort. Now, don't get this message wrong and think you got to work for God's grace. You haven't. It's free. Amen. But anything it's worth working for and worth reaching for and a determination. It's not, you know, I've told people, you don't work for salvation, you work because of salvation. Because of salvation comes into your heart and into your life, you want to do something for the Lord. Amen. You want to push the plate back every once in a while. You want to push the Saturday evening, I don't even know if they make a Saturday evening post again. You want to put the magazine back and you want to get the Word of God out. Amen. You want to get a time of fellowship with your brothers and sisters, and you want to put forth the effort, amen, to get another little branch higher and higher and closer to the Lord. It's an honor to be able to get into that mode of putting God first in your life. But God has always blessed effort. Jesus was walking. In fact, I believe it was Jericho again. Isn't it amazing? I think I preached a message. All those miracles that God performed where a wall used to stand. Amen. That's another message for another time. Amen. But I was reading this week about Joshua and them marching around the walls. And, you know, boy, that was an effort. Amen. A lot of people think they just went out there and marched seven times. No, they marched one time, went back to the camp. Next day, marched another time, went back to the camp. But on the seventh day, they marched seven times. And you know what Joshua said? Don't you shout. Don't you holler. Did I tell you to? Amen. But when he had hollered, shouted, and blew those trumpets, those walls fell down. Now Jesus is walking in those same places where there once was walls. Hello. Amen. Healing folks, touching folks, changing lives. And Jesus was walking down the street at another time, and there was a crowd with him, and there was a man by the name of Bartimaeus. He was sitting on the roadside begging. Somebody had probably helped him get to this position. He probably was getting there on a daily schedule, probably, because he was dependent on people helping him. You know, please, little something for the blind, please help me if you can. But he heard a commotion. I said he heard something. Can I tell you sometimes when you can't see Jesus? Hello? A lot of folks say, show me a sign, Lord. Show me a sign you're there. And they're breathing his breath all the time.
But sometimes, because of whatever the situation, we can't see the hand of God moving. But when you're blinded by the situation, when you're blinded by the circumstance, when you're blinded because you can't see Jesus, listen for His still small voice. Listen intently, and I'll guarantee you, you'll be able to hear the comforting Spirit of God. What's going on? Bartimaeus said. What's the commotion about? Oh, haven't you heard? Jesus is coming by. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Hush, Bartimaeus. Be quiet, Bartimaeus. Don't disturb the master. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Oh, be quiet, church congregation. We don't holler and carry on in the church anymore. Maybe we ought to. You'll disturb the neighbors. Maybe we ought to. Preacher, stand still. I can't. Why do you walk around? I can't stand still. Man. Hallelujah. Jesus! Thou son of David, have mercy on me. When's the last time you cried, Jesus, have mercy on me? Lord, you said you would bless me. You said you'd make a way when there's no way. You said you're the healer of my body. Lord, I'm calling on you. I have nowhere else to go. No one else to turn to. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Amen. Hallelujah. How many knows that he put forth the effort? A determined attempt. Turn Jesus down his street. Hallelujah. And that day, his eyes were opened. And Jesus healed Bartimaeus. Hallelujah. Oh, Brother Eddie, Jesus would have probably healed him anyway. You don't know. You don't know. That's the comment of a lazy person. Come on. Man, laziness has a way of affecting our prayer life. It does. I'll be honest with you. I was sitting in my study just a little while ago during the Sunday school part of the service, and I was praying and I was reading and I was seeking God. And I've had a little bit of sinus problems, and I told Brother Rowdy my head felt like a 5-gallon bucket every time I bent over, like Daddy used to call it, like syrup. And I put my hands down, on my hands to pray on my desk, and man, that felt good. I was praying, but I was feeling good. And you know what I thought was? If I had me a blanket now. Satan would get into your prayers. I was seeking the will of God. I was seeking Him for His message this morning. I was praying that God would use this vessel and anoint these lips of clay. But I got to tell you, man, a blanket sure would feel good. I'd pull it over my head and I'd take me about a 15-minute power nap. And then Jesus said, you preaching on what this morning? I said, it takes an effort. He said, it takes an effort. Come on, Satan, to try to rock you to sleep. Hush, Bartimaeus. Get out of the tree, Zacchaeus. Come on. No, I'm going to put forth an effort. You know, I've had people say, why do you go to church all the time? I said, because it's open. They're having it. Something might happen. I might not be there. I want to be there. Put forth the effort. In Mark, the second chapter, there was a man with a palsy. Could not walk. But he heard Jesus was in the house down the street. You know what? This is when you need brothers and sisters in your life. The Bible doesn't say how, but he had four brothers, friends, acquaintances, neighbors, golfing buddies, somebody, who came to his aid and picked his bed up with him in it. Jesus, I can't go this morning. I can't get out of the bed. If you'll call, I'll get four brothers. Come get you and your bed. I said, all right, Brother Chris, you'd help me, wouldn't you? And bring them to church. Well, I'll get back with you. But these four brethren's acquaintances picked up the bed and they began to make their way down to the house where Jesus was. Can I tell you, sometimes it seems like it's the longest journey to get where Jesus is. That's not because he moves, that's because we do. That's because it's not that he can't heal, we can't remember his healing power. That's because he doesn't care. Sometimes we let other cares get in the way. And it seems like the journey to Jesus is long and it's very hard and difficult. But how many knows he has got to keep walking? And they carried that bed with a man sick of the palsy. And they got to the house and I just imagine probably one of the carriers said, there's no way we can get in the house. That thing's more crowded than Martin's restaurant on Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. We'll never get in there. But I don't know whose idea it was. But somebody said, we're not giving up. Give me a saint of God that says, you know what? It looks like it's an impossibility, but we're not giving up. We've come this far. You need to tell Satan, I've come this far. I'm not turning back. I'm not turning around. I'm not giving up. Amen. I may not be to the top of the mountain yet, but at least I ain't back down at the bottom either. I'm making one step, one climb at a time. I'm going to reach the top with the help of God. And somebody said, you know what? Let's take him up to the roof. And begin to pull back the little shutters. And you know, it's Eddie. You know, it's Eddie. I'm reading that and I'm thinking, what's the congregation do? What would First Pentecostal Church do? We're right in the middle of praise and worship. Somebody starts tearing the roof off. I guarantee you get more people in the altar than any sermon I've ever preached. Oh, God! Why do you want to wait? There's no better life than knowing that you're filled with the blood of, by the blood of Jesus, covered by his blood, filled with his spirit. And if the roof does come off, amen, I'm just going that much faster. But I was wondering about the congregation. Wonder what they thought when all of a sudden the roof began to be pulled back and then they began to let this man down. What four precious friends that is. You know, let me just pause. We preach about the man with the palsy and his faith. Could you be one of the four friends? Would you carry your brother that far? Would you be willing to tear the roof off to help him? Would you stay there? Would you say, hey, it's no use? Think about that. That's not even a sermon. That's just a little tidbit. Could you be one of the four? So they tore the roof off. They began to let him down. And they let him down right in front of Jesus. Jesus said, what faith? Amen. You mean you went all this trouble? You put forth all of that effort? I'm just going to heal you. Glory to God. And he was made whole immediately. Hallelujah. Next time you're praying, it's worth the effort. Next time you're fasting, it's worth the effort. Next time you're getting up and getting ready and you don't really feel like it, it's worth the effort. Next time you cut the television off and you open up the Word of God and you get in the Word of God, and I've heard so many people say, man, this just ain't making any sense whatsoever. Why don't you pray, then open it again and let God enlighten your eyes? It's worth the effort. And finally, one of my favorite stories of all times. I know Sister Jennifer probably gets tired of me requesting that song, but it's so powerful. There's a miracle in the making, one just for you. Because this lady had been told by every physician that she went to that there's nothing else that we can do. You know how many people give up on that? Because the physicians say, I'm sorry, there's nothing else we can do. And they take that and they put their faith in what that man has said, rather than, it's going to take more effort now to put your faith in God. Because that's when you can't really see Him. And that's when you really can't hear nothing but the negative things in your ears. You got to walk in faith. You got to work in faith. But every doctor said, there's nothing else we can do. You're going to die. She spent all she had. The Bible says she only got worse. But she heard that Jesus was passing through. Thank God. Hallelujah. I, for one, am thankful that He doesn't only just pass through anymore. Because He died on the cross of Calvary, may I remind us, and because that He ascended into heaven and promised us He would not leave us comfortless, but would indeed send the Comforter back in His name, even He no longer just happens to pass by, He lives within this vessel. Are you thankful for that? Aren't you glad for that? But this day, Jesus was passing by, and she heard about the many miracles. Maybe she'd heard about Bartimaeus. Maybe she'd heard about the man with palsy. Maybe she'd heard the lame were walking and the deaf ears were unstopped. But in her mind, she said, I don't have to have Him lay His hands on me. I don't have to have Him even acknowledge that I'm in His presence. But I do believe with all of my heart, Brother Rowdy, if I can just get to Jesus and touch just the hem of His garment, I will be made whole. Oh, but sister, how are you going to do that when you can't even stand up straight? When this issue of blood has gotten you so anemic and so weak that you can't even hardly walk to the edge of the road and back. And you know Jesus is a good piece from you. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it. I don't know when I'll get to Him, but I'm going to get to Him. Amen. I didn't have anybody to help me like the man with palsy did, but that's all right. I'm not giving up. It may take me a long time to get to Him, but I'm going to get to Him because I'm determined. And she, maybe in my mind, she went down that final street and out into the main road there where Jesus was, and maybe a discouragement might have set in because she couldn't see Him for the crowd that thronged Him. But she began to be persistent, and she began to push her way through the crowd. Can I tell you, that's not the easiest thing to do for a strong person? Because people are there, and they're looking, what do you mean trying to break line? But this little weak and hopelessly sick lady was able somehow, some way, to muster enough strength and resilience and persistency to, excuse me, sir, pardon me, ma'am, oh, I'm so sorry, but excuse me, I got to see Jesus. I got to get to Him. When's the last time you prayed like that? Push aside every obstacle, every barrier, every negativity, every evil thought in your mind, and you pushed it aside and you said, you know what, I'm not giving up. And finally there was a little break in the crowd, and she reached out that little trembling hand, I can almost see it, and she touched the hem of His garment, and the Bible said instantly virtue, power came, amen, out of Jesus and healed her.
Can I tell you that very moment that issue of blood stopped? Can I remind you that instantly her blood count went up, her red blood cell, blood vessel, them red things in her body. Were instantly healed and made whole. Glory to God. Strength came into her body. Power, virtue came into her body. When's the last time in the middle of your prayer you heard Jesus say, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" She came trembling and knelt before him. Lord, it was I. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's worth the effort. It's worth the effort. Man, I'm not able to have Zacchaeus here today. He couldn't make it. Nor the man sick of palsy who didn't even mention his name was not available. Bartimaeus couldn't see his way clear to be here. But he could see clearly. And the 80th lady with the issue of blood, she's too busy glorifying and praising God. But I guarantee you, if they could be here, I don't want to put words in their mouth, but every one of them would say, it's worth the effort. It's worth the effort. Can you hear the echoes of heaven in the halls? It's worth the effort. Glory to God. It's worth everything. Every step, every disappointment, every trial, every problem, every issue. It's worth the effort. And they all were rewarded. Amen. For the effort that they put forth. And what seemed to be such a momentous and gigantic effort paled in comparison to the reward that they received. Amen. When's the last time you put forth any effort to really seeking God? Would you stand? Every head bowed, every eye closed. God is in the house.